In the name of Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from on high. Text for meditation this morning comes from our second lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as previously read. This week, I endured an attack from the devil, and it came from the most unlikely of places. Message after message came to me, ripe with the devil's lies, subtle little things, things that I love to hear, things that pet my ego, things that sound like this: nothing you can't handle. You can do it and you know it. Buckle down, push forward, bet on yourself. And maybe the most dangerous of them all: you got it in you. I don't know if I've ever endured quite such an onslaught of these messages, and so I had to consider where these attacks of the devil were coming from, because they weren't the devil's usual mediums, the usual suspects. They weren't like the TV or the internet, or they weren't like social media attacks or attacks from other people. So I had to think about the medium and the means that the devil was using to attack me and speak to me and try to get me to sin by trusting totally in myself. And of all things, these attacks were coming from my cough drop wrappers. You see, I started the week with kind of a nasty case of the sniffles, and so I reached for the bag of Hall's Vitamin C Defense cough drops, and the devil went on offense after me with slogan after slogan telling me that I had the power to do it all. Got a sermon to prepare for this week? Nothing you can't handle. Feeling a little bit under the weather this week? Buckle down and push forward. You got it in you. Just bet on yourself. That's the kind of stuff that I like to hear, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous to think that we've got it all inside of us. We've got the power to handle it all. We've got the power to do it all. And then I began to think about how prevalent that kind of thinking is in our midst, in the world that we live in. It comes from all over the place. It comes from cough drop wrappers, and it comes from renowned writers like Ralph Waldo Emerson, who says that what lies before us and what lies behind us are small matters compared to what lies within us. And when you bring what is within out into the world, well, that's when miracles happen. It comes from writers like that. Sometimes it comes from hero Disney princesses like Moana, who says that sometimes our strengths lie beneath the surface, far beneath the surface in some cases. But now, don't get the impression that it's just coming from like the new age, like self-esteem movement. It's in the classic underdog tales too, like the Italian stallion, Rocky Balboa, who says, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. It's about how much you can take and keep going. That's how winning is done. I'll tell you, the first time I heard that speech from the movie, I was ready to run through the streets of Philadelphia and eat raw eggs and go 12 rounds in a boxing match. We like that kind of stuff. And you might think, well, what's the big deal? It's just like a little inspirational quote. It's just a little motivational boost. But if you look a little bit closer, you'll see that each and every one of those things is really an appeal to this natural born sixth sense inside of ourselves that thinks that we can do everything, that we've got it in us, that we're able to handle it all, that we are strong of ourselves. And that little natural born sixth sense in us even goes so far to say, you can save yourself. Theologians have sometimes called it by its Latin name, the opinio legis, the opinion of the law. The law says, do this, and so I'm of the opinion that I think, well, I can do it, if that's what it says. And if you try it that way, if you try to rely on yourself, if you try to do everything that the law says and that that be your righteousness, you will fall so flat on your face that you will never get up again. Not any cough drop rapper, not Rocky Balboa himself will be able to peel you off the floor. And the more capable, the stronger, the wiser that you are in your own eyes, the harder that you will run to try and accomplish it all, and the harder you will trip over the stumbling block that is Christ, and you will fall. Just as every sinner before you has fallen short of the glory of God. And so today, the Apostle Paul stands before us to eviscerate that kind of strength theology that lives among us. He stands before us to give a beat down to the opinio legis inside of us that makes us think we've got the power to do it all. The Apostle Paul's call to us today is essentially this: be a weak, insignificant fool and boast in the Lord. Now, there's some meaning that has to go along with that, right? So that you don't go home, tell everybody, well, pastor just told me to be a fool today, so I'm going to make a fool of myself all week long. You've got to know some things along with that, the who and the what and the why of why Paul was talking like this to the Corinthians. So let's get down to the letter from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. For the most part, the believers in Corinth, they weren't like from the upper crust of society. They weren't the wise and the strong and the elite and the noble. They were like the average Joes. They were like the bottom half or the bottom third. But they were living in a society, in a city, where people put those things, wisdom, strength, power, nobility, up on a pedestal and relied on them. Most of all, Greeks searched for wisdom. They made that their obsession, wisdom and intelligence and philosophy, and they spent all their time researching the latest ideas. And not many of them would stoop so low as to believe something so foolish as the message of Christ, because the message of Christ demands that each and every person admit to being a weak and helpless sinner who is unable to do anything but before God, but rely on Christ, rely on him totally, without 1 ounce of human effort to contribute to the matter. And for the elite and the strong and the powerful of the city of Corinth, that was a message that was below them. It was appalling. It was for the slaves and the masses. And so, in their supposed wisdom, they would perish. Because God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. It's like God chose the have-nots instead of the haves in order to shame the haves. And God chose the only way to be saved to be a way that nobody would be able to just buckle down and trust in themselves to achieve it. Nobody would be able to bet on themselves. God chose the foolish way so that nobody would think that they had achieved their salvation by climbing up and doing it themselves. And God chose people who were weak and foolish enough to trust that God would do it all for them. That was the foolishness that was preached. And that is how God was pleased to save those who believe. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Now, why did he do it this way? Why did he shame the wise? Isn't that kind of mean to shame anybody, right? That's what everybody says. You shouldn't put anybody to shame. Well, think about what we're saying to God if we pretend to have it all down ourselves. God, in his mercy, gives the costliest gift that we could possibly imagine. And if we look at that gift and say, well, thanks, but no thanks, I can handle it on my own, then we're basically saying to God, shame on you for thinking that I needed saving. And we're calling God a fool for spending his everything on a gift that we didn't even need. And we're really calling Christ a fool too for coming to be the savior of people who did not need saving. That's the way Dr. Martin Luther puts it. He says, if you can save yourself, then what a fool was Christ who shed his blood to purchase us for the Spirit. We could have just done that all on our own. No, the fact of the matter is the whole world needs to be ashamed of itself and every person humbled before God because of our sin. And the people who may be the most likely to not do that, to not humble themselves, are the people that are the strongest and wisest and noblest in their own eyes and in their own righteousness. And that's why God did it this way, so that nobody would be able to boast before him. Nobody would be able to boast thinking that they had accomplished it for themselves. Now, here's the final truth that Paul is driving home. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. It is because of God that you are a believer. You weren't wise enough to choose it for yourself. You weren't strong enough to achieve it for yourself. You cannot, by your own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, by the message of foolishness, by the message of Christ crucified, which for us who are being saved is the power of God for salvation. Do you know what that means for you? You don't have to spend all of your days trying to be strong enough to save yourself. You don't have to spend all of your days trying to have it all together as if there's no chinks in the armor. You can be weak, and you can be a total failure, and you can rely totally on Christ, who is your strength and your righteousness and your holiness, your salvation. It's not in you. It's in him, and he gives it to you. And that's how you get it. You don't have to wow the world with the wisdom that came from your own brain, because God has made you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus in the foolishness of God. You don't have to be a somebody in this world, because you were so significant to Christ that he purchased you with his own blood. And you don't have to be strong and powerful on your own, because he is your strong and absolute savior. My friends, it's time to put down the act of trying to save yourself, trying to have it all together all the time, trying to bring it out of yourself, because that's all a lie anyway. It's time to lay down that burden. And pastors, we need to do it too. We, more than anybody, maybe like to seem like we've got it all together all the time, but that's just not true. All of us need to be humbled before our God. Just as the Apostle Paul tells us, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. It's so much better that way anyway, because for all of your life, for all of your striving, you would never be able to trust in your strength and your power and your wisdom so much that you could rely on it with certainty to gain heaven. But when you boast in the Lord, then you can know that it is strong and firm and finished for you. It is certain for you. He is your righteousness and holiness. Do you know what that means for you? You can be weak and trust that Christ is your strength. You can be insignificant and know that you are valuable in His eyes. You can be a weak, insignificant fool and boast in the Lord. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.